Church, just bless the Lord, not just on Sunday, but every day of our life. And Romans chapter 14, Romans 14, our focal verses for this morning is verse 12 and 13. Our message is entitled Liberty. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall into his brother's way. Father, we pray this morning, we come humbly before you, that you will use your servant today to proclaim your message, that the words that said is from you, and that God, the honor and glory is to you. Draw people, Lord, to repentance. Draw people, Lord, to salvation. Draw us all closer to walk with you, to listen to you, to obey you, and to make your name known through our actions, through our behavior, through our conversation. Lord, today, bless this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Liberty. It's what these scriptures are talking about. The liberty, and one liberty in the Word of God means that we have the liberty, that we have been freed from the penalty of sin. Praise God. It is by grace that we're saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that liberty comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have been freed from the penalty of sin. And is it our desire that we should be sharing and witnessing to others that they can be freed from the penalty of sin as well? That should be our goal. And we should be one with Christ and one with Him. I want to read to you from Tony Evans' book, something that he described about unity. One of the great experiments when it comes to the nationality of the American experience. The American experience is unique because it's intentionality to bring people from all walks of life, from every nation, under the banner of a single flag, to intentionally seek to bring across to these shores people from all kinds of other nations who make up and called the United States of America. This experience brought people together who would pledge allegiance to a single flag, even though their backgrounds were different, unique, and dissimilar. We acknowledge our differences by annotating our original heritage to our current nationality with terms like Irish American, Swedish American, Polish American, African American, Hispanic American. The introductory phrase cites the uniqueness. The last word cites the unity. Whatever I am uniquely based on regarding culture, history, background, or previous location, I am under the American banner. This was the experiment as an attempt to have a United States, even though the people seeking to be unified were totally different. What the American experience represents from a cultural, historical, and geographical perspective to this nation, the Church of the Living Lord Jesus Christ was meant to be for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, people from different backgrounds, cultures, and perspectives, all pledging allegiance to the one thing, and that is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I am an American. Period. I am a blood-bought, surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, child of God. First and foremost. Period. No attachments, no diversity, because of what the Lord Jesus did for me on that cross. I am a child of the living God. And I pledge allegiance to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ as one. The Romans, if we look at verses 1 in this chapter, the Romans had different opinions on certain practices. Dates and perspective came from all kinds of different backgrounds. And this is exactly what God inspired Paul to write in these scriptures. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. In other words, disputes or arguments. For one believeth that he may eat of things, all things, another will be weak and eat herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. As you and I should receive one another. Amen? People today have different perspectives. Would you say? We have different perspectives based on our generation. How many times have I heard, "Oh, that generation, I just don't understand them." Right? "Well, that generation, I just..." And when you show them a dial phone where you put your finger in the hole and you turn it and let go of it, they're like, "Whoa, that's a... man." And when they got this huge, huge, long cord, and she tells the little boy that it's mobile phone, because you can move any place in the house with that phone, that just blows their mind, doesn't it? Wow. Different generations. But we also have different traditions, do we not? Can you find in the Bible where it tells us what time we're supposed to worship on Sunday? We have traditions. We have different geographical backgrounds. Some like different foods. Amen? I was handing out onions that I was given, and I was trying to find them homes. And I delivered onions to a couple of guys, and one of them said, "Hey, he don't like onions. He don't like onions on his plate. He don't like onions, period. He won't even touch them." I said, "He wasn't raised right." Hey. And on the other side, he's probably saying, "You wasn't raised right." So you see the differences of opinions? And so as I handed the gentleman the two bags of onions, he turned to him and said, "Here, take these in yonder." And he almost got them. No. It was just one of those moments. You know, we have all these different opinions, and we celebrate special dates. And how many of you that are older celebrated a reveal party back in the 1970s or 80s, whenever your child was born? Anybody had a reveal party? Didn't know what the reveal party was, and didn't know what the gender was, did we? Probably didn't know what we was getting ourselves into. We celebrate different things. We all have different perspectives and have different opinions. Some have different personal prejudices, have personal convictions. What should we eat? What should we wear? And given any changes to these, can expose opportunity to do one of two things: to grow or to divide. It exposes whether we're weak or strong in our faith and trust in God. And that's what Paul's describing here. Weak or strong Christians are not determined, weak or strong Christians are not determined by how old they are, how long they've been in church, or what role they play in church. I'll give you an example. Spurgeon and Parker, back in the day, the strongest evangelistic preachers in their day. People were getting saved, the churches were growing, and these two men were going strong for the Lord. But Parker went to a movie theater to watch a movie. And Spurgeon called him a heretic. That is just sinful that you would go to a theater indoors and watch a movie. And so they disputed over that topic. It hit the newspapers. It made a difference in those two men's ministry. One approached Spurgeon one time, quite honestly, after it hit the news, someone approached Charles Haddon Spurgeon and said, "Mr. Spurgeon, I know that you didn't agree with Parker going to theaters, but is it sinful that you smoke cigars?" Spurgeon replied, "Not unless it becomes habitual." The individual went on, "When will you know that it's habitual?" He says, "When I smoke two cigars at the same time." You see the perspectives? And whether we're weak or strong, there's those moments in our journeys that any one of us could be weak or strong. Upon our convictions, upon our prejudices, these two men were disagreeable. Some Christians receive one another. They do not force their opinions on others, encourages others, and is active in sharing the gospel to see souls saved. This drives and grows in love and is committed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's strong Christians. The Bible tells us over and over again that we're to receive one another as the Lord Jesus Christ received us. Paul was addressing here when Christians disagree. How we react to those differences affects not only each other, but affects who is watching and who is listening. Amen? I've never had anybody come into our church and look at a round wall and go, "I just don't like that. I'm not coming back." Never had that happen. But now opinions and things of that nature that cause differences, they hear about, they know about, they watch and listen. How we react to each other affects many more people. A pandemic can cause stumbling blocks, can cause grieving, and quite honestly, can destroy. A pandemic can also cause and set up the Church of the Living God to lean into Him, to depend upon Him, to trust in Him, draw closer to Him, and allow Him to be the Lord of all. He alone can use a pandemic for good and bring the church together, to minister together, to grow into love for one another, to grow into love for Him, and fulfill the great commission to a higher cause than ever before. That's our goal. That's my desire. That's my vision from the Lord, that we will grow stronger, lean into Him more, and abide in Him even more, to bring the Church of the Living God together, to fulfill the Great Commission to a higher level than ever before. I believe God wants to do that through us. I believe it is already actively moving in that direction. Could we just lay our differences sometimes aside to accept and receive one another, to be open to God and to trust Him, to be teachable, that He's doing something in each one of our lives to grow us up? I believe this is a time that I have the opportunity to trust God more, to unite together more for that common goal. Could it be that our conversations, our behavior, and our focus be upon the Great Commission and to just love God and to share the gospel? I want to share with you three little simple letters. A, B, C. When I hear our granddaughter say the ABCs and then she says, "What do you think of me?" it just thrills me. I believe that the ABCs thrills God when we use them for His glory, for His cause, and His purpose. The A is for our attitude. Positive. A is for attitude. B is for behavior. How we behave. And C is our conversation. Our conversations, we engage conversations about the gospel. Church, we behave as one that we don't want to be a stumbling block to anyone. Our attitudes is focused on what He's called us to do and that God's working through everyone and I just need to abide by Him. Now, if it's theological differences, then we need to address it and talk about it. If it's something that's going to physically harm somebody, we need to talk about it. But if it's going to cause a brother or sister to stumble, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Our conversations, our behavior should be focused upon the Great Commission to love God and to love one another. May God enlarge our love for Him, our love for His people, and be compassionately in love for those that are far from Him. May the Holy Spirit examine our hearts as He prepares us to grow wholeheartedly in love with Him and with His people and have compassion on those who don't know Him as Lord and Savior. Fact of it is, the Bible tells us, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Amen? The ABCs makes a difference. Our attitudes, our behaviors, and our conversations, they make a difference. There's going to be over 140 families moving into our area from everywhere very soon. 140 families moving to our area from everywhere. How we react and how we behave, how we converse with these people will be drawing them to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, or if they've already got a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, to embark into the Church of the Living God here at Rum Creek to build a ministry that glorifies and honors Him. This is fixing to happen soon, and we need to prepare our hearts. How do I know that? Because that's how many lots have been sold recently in the last several weeks for big, big prices. And in addition to that, there's moving people in around us everywhere. The Bible tells us to go out and share. Look around you. God's moving them in. He's bringing them here. Let's love them. Let's share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't want to be a stumbling block and be unloving, because that's what's going to hold us accountable to God. God has given us this opportunity to reach these families, to love on them and to encourage them and to lead them to a personal relationship with God. In addition to that, we have many people from here, from Johnson County, that still don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that's locked up in bondage, and they need to be set free. Many people. Johnson County is not saved. Hello? God wants you and I to engage and look out and begin to share the gospel with their actions, with their attitudes, with their behavior, and especially with their conversations. I pray that God just embarks a new thing on our hearts, including myself, to see what God can do when we get in line with Him. God receives us, doesn't He? Hello? God receives us, doesn't He? Yes. The Bible doesn't say this, does it? It doesn't say this, so get me here. God demonstrated to us that once we stopped all of our bad habits, we cleaned up our lives, and we only wear clothes that are like everybody else, and we give up our traditions, perspective, and compile that we apply the 642 rules, then He would love us. Did He? He didn't say, I'll demonstrate to you once you stop all these bad things, once you clean up your life and you all wear the exact same clothes and you have the exact same traditions and perspectives and you abide by the 642 rules, that then He would love us? No. God says that He commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wow! He received us. Look around you. We're not perfect. Or at least from the pulpit, I don't know how far it goes out there. God's still working on me. I'm what they call in the workforce WIP. WIP. I'm a work in progress. Are you? Warren Wiersbe, he said this, there is a lot of useless, harmful division among Christians over silly, bigoted things. Paul isn't telling these Christians to erase their differences. He tells them to rise above them as Christian brothers and sisters. The set up man-made restrictions on the basis of personal prejudice is to go beyond the Word of God. Because God received us, we are to receive one another. God wants you. We need you. He needs you to join together in His cause to make His name known. St. Augustine said this, in the essentials, unity. In the non-essentials, liberty. In all things, clarity. Liberty means Christians are freed. We're freed from the bondage of sin. But we are to respect the activity that's not forbidden in the Bible as long as it doesn't cause our brother or sister to stumble or to offend another Christian. What clothes we wear, what makeup we have, tattoos, jewelries, any other activities, we should seek God in prayer and see how it affects others. Test you for just a moment. If you were to see me, you're driving down the road, and you see me going into the liquor store, okay? I'm not, have not, will not. But if you saw me going into the liquor store and I went in there to get a Sprite Zero, that's all. Would your conversation start? Oh, did you
see where I'm passing here.
But if it caused you to stumble, listen to me, I should not go. We need to be careful of our attitudes, our behavior, and our conversations. We are to live the Christ-centered life. Bible says we should deny ourselves, to take up our crosses daily, and follow Christ. God's calling you and I to rise up and to pursue a higher call for the kingdom of God, to rise above and let God be Lord of all. When the Lord Jesus Christ was walking on earth, and he had one of his disciples following him, and in one of his disciples, he heard noises and some disturbance going on behind him. And the disciple looked at Jesus and said, "What is that? Who is that? What is he doing?" Jesus turned around and said, "Let me take care of him. You take care of you." We need to let God be Lord. When you look through a magnifying glass, you are close to whatever you're looking at. You see the faults of others. That's why people fear intimacy. That's why they don't have close relationships. They don't want you to get close to see the real them. I already know that Jesus knows you. He sees you as you are. He knows all about you. He knows all about me. And he loves you. He's crazy in love with you. And he has so much desire for you to move close to him so that he can do things that you just would not imagine through you, through his church. And that's where we are, folks. That's where we are. Intimacy with Christ means him looking into me. That's so special. We need to get a grip on that. If you look close at others, you're going to find fault. If you look at churches, you're going to find fault. Let's look to the cross of Christ, where there is no fault. Where he's perfect, and his love is perfect. And as we strive together, let's keep looking to him, the author and finisher of our faith. Let Jesus Christ be Lord of your life. Let Jesus Christ be Lord of his church today. In John chapter 17, if you would turn over there, please. In John chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. This is Jesus' prayer for us as believers in him, those of us who are followers. "Neither pray I these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, and that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that thou may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, and thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, for which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them that thy name will be declared and the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. May we be sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. May we be one in the Lord Jesus Christ. Too many people are sitting on the sidelines where somebody's building alliance here, somebody's building alliance here. One won, one lost, but the others that were watching says, I don't want no part of that, and they leave. May we be one in the Lord Jesus Christ. Realizing that the quotation from Isaiah chapter 45, verse 23, emphasizes the fact that we will all appear before God and humility and give an account to the Lord God. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. As I prayed this week and studied and meditated on what God wanted to speak to us today about, Holy Spirit, move, I pray. Now to him that is able, hello, now to him that is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or even imagine, according to the power that worketh within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ through all generations forever and ever. Amen. Folks, it's getting close. It's getting close. I know preachers have said that for years, but we're getting closer. And the moment that we're sitting right here, we're closer to that day that we'll stand before God and give an account as well. In Revelation chapter 7, this day's coming soon. This is the urgency. This is the urgency that people are free from bondage and have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and allow him to be Lord. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. And this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man can number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Praise be to God. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and all the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne of their factor, and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Praise be to God. Billy Graham prayed this many, many years ago. Your love encompasses me, Lord Jesus. Wherever I may be, there are so many who need the healing of your love in their lives. Fill me to overflowing agape love for them. How's your ABCs? How's your ABCs this morning? How's your attitude, your behavior, your conversations? Are you in right relationships with your brothers and sisters in Christ? It's time for us to be one, to humble ourselves and to repent, and to come together as one, to go out in the name of Jesus Christ. As we line up Bible school, as we line up many things coming our way, may we be one. Are you in the right relationship with God? Do you have peace with God this morning? Are you still held in bondage because of things in the past, or held in bondage because of sin that still exists? Today, God's calling you to repent. He says he'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness if you'll just admit it. See, that brings us to the other ABCs. Admit we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Admit where we are with our Christian walk. That's part of the confession, is to admit. It's part of the process of our lives and our Christian walk as well, to admit we have sinned. Because pride holds back the blessings of God. B, believe in the cross of Christ, what He did for you and I. No matter what our geographical background is, no matter what our perspectives are, no matter what our language are, no matter what we wear, no matter where we are financially in the world today, all those things, when we come to the foot of the cross, we're all equal. He died for all. Whether I came from California, whether I came from New York, or whether I came from Florida, Christ died for all. Believing in the cross of Christ, and see, confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And let Him be Lord of all. Let Him be Lord of all. How are you going to act on what the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to you about this morning? Each one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Each one of us will give an account. Where are you at? May the Holy Spirit of the living God surround you this morning and love you and reveal to you where you are and where you need to be. If you need to make a decision today for the Lord Jesus, we're going to give you that chance. If you need to come and pray this morning, whether it's repentance or whether you're interceding with somebody for somebody else, or you're praying about a matter that's going on in your life, whatever it is, let go and let God. Allow Him to be Lord this morning. Allow Him to begin to do something in your life that He's wanting to do, but you've never let Him. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to say. Father in heaven, as You have revealed through Your Holy Spirit and Your Word this morning, and Your presence here today, may each one of us respond according to that which You have spoken to us about. It's been Your desire, Lord. What do You want us to do now? And as You speak to us, may we obey and move to make that decision. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand, please, for this invitation? As she plays through this one more time, I'm going to ask you, would you pray? Would you pray right now? I'm going to give you this opportunity to talk to the Lord. Just ask Him. He'll let you know what He wants you to do with that, what He's given you. The Lord's calling new people to our church. The Lord's calling our church together to work as one, to receive one another. to move forward, to multiply.